You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are. On the Fantasy Sports and Network, we've got a ton of stuff to get to this afternoon, so let's get right down to business. We're going to send it to Las Vegas, Nevada. The professor will step up, and then Dave Malinsky. We'll talk some NBA draft. We'll talk some NFL. We'll talk NHL Vegas. We'll talk everything with the professor. It's a wide-open class today with Dave Malinsky. We'll get his thoughts on tonight's Major League Baseball card as well. We'll talk baseball, little football, little O.J. Simpson with Mike Card. Dana will focus in on the NBA draft with Coach Nick. A lot of stuff to get to as the NBA draft is rapidly approaching, and I would expect there to be more deals before Thursday night. Now, Boston and Philadelphia already pulled the blockbuster for the one and the three, and I seem to be in a minority, man. Everybody's praising the Philadelphia 76ers for their aggressiveness. I'm not seeing it, but hey, if they love Markelle Fultz, they love Markelle Fultz. And to me, it's not like the Mitch Trubisky type of deal. Trubisky's a big gamble. Fultz really isn't a gamble. We know the guy's going to be good. But I think you would have gotten a good player anyways. And the fact of the matter is, the Boston Celtics didn't seem to want Markelle Fultz anyways. So I guess it's a win-win for both teams. Doesn't always have to be a loser. I guess we'll really find out who the winner and the loser of this deal is down the road when we see who the Boston Celtics end up taking. Yeah, there's a lot of dealing left to be done. There's a lot of clubs in the NBA with big, big question marks right now. How about the firing in Cleveland? General manager is out, evidently making it to three straight finals. Well, not good. Not good enough. Now, LeBron James, the reports are that LeBron James didn't even know they were going to fire the GM. Does anybody believe this? Like, remember when they fired the coach, Blatt? LeBron, I was as surprised as you were. You know, LeBron's like Barack Obama. That was Barack slang. I found out with the rest of you folks when I saw it on the news. Well, that's kind of weird because you have, you know, access to all the information. You're telling me that LeBron, so the Cleveland Cavaliers just fire coaches and general managers without consulting with LeBron James? As if. Griffin basically got fired for doing everything that you wanted, LeBron. You know, you wanted Tristan Thompson. You wanted to give him all that money. You didn't want Wiggins. You wanted Love. You wanted Shumpert. You wanted J.R. Smith. These are all your guys. You put this team together, but it's never your fault, is it, LeBron? Never Bron's fault. But nevertheless, we'll get to that with Coach Nick. Big baseball going on tonight, man. We got Colorado and Arizona. Who would have thought that these two teams would be battling it out for first place right now? It's amazing. The Dodgers win every damn day, and they can't gain any ground because both Colorado and Arizona keep winning. Well, somebody's got to lose, right? They don't have ties in baseball yet, do they? Somebody's got to lose. Monster series going on in the Mile High City. And is it just me or the Rockies seem to play at home every damn day? I know they're a good road team, but since, you know, I like to look, actually off the top of my head, I don't know the discrepancy between home and away. We'll get to that later on in the program. Well, we've been waiting for this. We've been waiting for the first home plate collision and controversy ever since the Buster Posey rule was put in place, Rule 713 to be exact. And nobody's been suspended since the Posey rule has been put in place. Chicago Cubs superstar Anthony Rizzo collides with San Diego Padre catcher Austin Hedges last night. All hell breaks loose after the game. Padres are pissed. Andy Green, manager, says it was a dirty play. And people are wondering right now, is Rizzo going to be suspended for this? Like I said, nobody's been suspended for this just yet. Yet, really, if you watch the damn play, and we can't show you the play because we'll get sued and they'll turn the lights off and stuff. So we can't show you the play. But if you watch the play, and I'm sure you've seen it, the fact of the matter is it's a bang-bang play, all right? Yes. Could Rizzo have slid in? Yes. Should he have slid in? Yes. Did he try to kill Hedges? No. And the fact of the matter is, let's be real here. Who's more valuable? Who's more valuable? Do you think the Chicago Cubs... Do you think that Chicago Cubs management saw that play and said, oh, that's great that Rizzo did this. I'm so happy he did this. You don't think they were holding their freaking breath thinking, oh, dear God, what the hell are you doing? You know, we've all been in this situation before, not at the big league level, but anybody that's played sports or even fallen down, you know, sometimes you're just in between. You're like, oh, I don't, I could, but I don't know. What do I do? And then you go through with it. It was one of those type of deals. Yeah, he took the wrong lane, and he basically admitted it. He goes, I was in the wrong lane. I was coming down. And he goes, but he did block the plate. That's where the debate comes in here. But it's amazing to me that this is like a big deal. Nobody got hurt. Oh, yeah. So Hedges had to leave the game. It is what it freaking is. And anyways, Hedges won the battle. You hung on to the damn baseball. And the fact of the matter is, Rizzo would have been called out even if he would have dropped the ball. There would have been interference called on the play. The real question is now, will he get suspended? And I don't think that he should, but I think that he would, if that makes sense. I don't make up the rules. But under the current rules and guidelines, he probably will be the first player to be suspended under this Buster Posey rule, so to speak. But this is where we're at right now, man. You know, we're a world full of snowflakes where little baseball play, bang, bang, collision. Oh, no, it's the end of the world. Another manager's getting upset. And if I was Madden, and one thing about Madden is, too, he is a hypocrite. Because if the shoe was on the other foot, he'd be pissed and he'd be freaking out. But it's just like politics in the real world right now. Everybody's locked into their own point of view, and they don't care what anybody else has to say. So I don't think Rizzo should be suspended, but I think he will be suspended. What do you think? Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. You know, I say this every day, but I actually mean it. And we do have a great show every day, but rock solid stuff today. We got the Professor Dave Malinsky. We have Coach Nick from LA, bballbreakdown.com joining us. The best NBA analyst out there right now. Guy's smoking. He owns YouTube. And Mike Cardano will join us. And Mike wants to talk about a bunch of things. And, of course, Mike is actually a New York Jet fan. As well, and a little bit later on, Morency Unfiltered. We're going to continue our NFL team by team early look previews. And I tell you what, man, I think the New York Jets have a legitimate chance this year of going winless. I think they might not win a game. They literally might not win a game. This isn't like me exaggerating or anything like that. The Jets might not win a freaking game this year. And I got to tell you, I see online right now, offshore, over under 5.5 wins. It's minus 220. I'm assuming in Vegas it's probably 4.5, and it's, you know, even money, whatever, as opposed to 5.5 minus 220. But there's no way in freaking hell. There's a better chance of me showing up with a full head of hair tomorrow than there is the New York Jets winning 6 games this year. Let's bring in Dave Malinsky. Bats leadoff. Ton of stuff to get to with Dave. As Dave's just trying to stay cool, man. Las Vegas in the summer is not a fun place to be. How you doing, Dave?
Pretty good, Gig. You know, something you will remember from being here, because we've actually got an over-under on the board here right now, because I got to meet a couple of friends for dinner tonight. Now, we are probably going to set a record for heat today.
Whoa.
And I have not been in my car since Sunday when I took one of these friends to dinner. So the over-under, and folks, this is serious. I live at the Las Vegas Country Club, where you're not allowed to have an overhang to park underneath. Got a couple of trees, got a little bit of shade. The over-under, when I get in my car, is 150 Fahrenheit, 150 when I get in the car this afternoon, which means maybe by the time I get to the restaurant, I'll have it down to 120 or so, but it's going to be a brutal moment. But let me throw this at you, Gabe, because here's a good question. If you could ever have Todd Bowles on the show, forced to be honest, would he rather have been fired at the end of last season and be somebody's defensive coordinator right now, or have to go through the season he's going to go through?
Well, I'll tell you what, Dave. Yeah, it's very rare that you see an NFL team sort of come out and try to tank it, but it really appears like the Jets are trying to tank this thing. Either way, whether it's McCowan or Hackenberg, and the word out of New York was that McCowan was so bad in the mini camp that they're like, you know what? Hackenberg actually might be the starter this year. I think Petty's probably the best of the three of them, but they don't seem to, you know, Petty's not their guy. So it's Hackenberg or bust, and it really looks like they've got their eyes on Sam Darnold right now. Listen, Dave. You know, we always talk about this prop before the year starts, and it's generally the same number all the time, and it is this year again. It's plus 1,500. Will any team in the NFL go winless this year? And it's plus 1,600. Will any team go undefeated? I think this year legitimately could happen. I think the Jets really could go 0-16, and I think the Patriots really could go 16-0 if they wanted to. And it's interesting because it's the 10th anniversary of the year in which they did go 16-0 in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Jets, how much focus do you already put on 2018? And it very rarely does a team go into a season as dead as they are now. You know, we talked about this back in the spring with the San Diego Padres. And it turns out, I mean, the Padres haven't been god-awful, but the Padres knew when the first pitch was thrown for the season, they were going absolutely nowhere. That's hard in professional sports. You've got to keep the fans interested. You've got to make certain things happen. That's a tough cycle they've got themselves into.
It's funny that you bring this up, Dave, because I was going to throw the Vegas hockey thing at you at the end, but I might as well do it now because of it's a perfect segue. So, you know, the expansion draft is tomorrow night. They're going to announce their roster tomorrow night. I know there's a lot of excitement in Las Vegas about this right now. But the general manager, former Washington Capital GM McPhee, he's been around the block a couple of times. He understands in the NHL, the only way to get good in the NHL, Dave, is to stockpile superstars. People think the NBA, you need stars to win. The NHL, who just won the Stanley Cup? Sidney Crosby, Dave, with Evgeny Malkin. Superstars. You need stars. Crosby and Malkin were both top picks. You know, Pittsburgh sucked. They got top picks. The Maple Leafs sucked for years. They got top picks. Now they're good. The Edmonton Oilers suck. And it'll be interesting to see, will fans in Vegas accept this, Dave, or are they expecting a winner in the first couple of years?
Well, we already know that Vegas fans are front runners, and you don't have to go any further than UNLV basketball,
which
played it to a pretty empty arena. Vegas fans don't have a whole lot of patience. But if you're a big-time star, do you want to play here? I mean, think about what our Heat is right now. If Vegas had won the Stanley Cup last week, you know, Pittsburgh had one of the great parades of all time in sports. You couldn't even have a parade in Vegas. You cannot have a parade when it's over 100 degrees.
Dave, the parade's going to be inside the Bellagio.
Yeah, I mean, it is such an odd place. So they're going to, one is it's going to be difficult to keep the fans' interest through the first couple of seasons, especially because we're not a hockey city anyway. But two is, if you are a star, is it appealing to live here? We know if you're an NBA star, it would be. An NFL star, no problem. Hockey's a little different mindset.
And I'm thinking Vegas, actually, Dave, has a couple of years of goodwill to suck before the Raiders get there. Because I think if the hockey team sucks when the Raiders get there, the hockey team could be in a lot of trouble. But if the hockey team's good and they're front runners, like you said, and they're as good as the LA Kings are, and they're battling Anaheim Ducks and the Kings and Arizona, and they have these rivalries going, then I think it could be successful.
There's a window of opportunity, but it's a fickle, fickle crowd here. And that's what I think. People who are being optimistic, I think they have to be aware this crowd has so many other entertainment options. And here's the thing, and you know this from your experiences here, Gabe. Everybody here bets. So when you bet, you're more interested sometimes in being at home watching all the games rather than going to one. And what's going to be real fascinating, the single most important part as they build the new Raider Stadium, the out-of-town scoreboard, because that's where most people are going to be watching for those 3 hours. They'll watch the out-of-town scoreboard more than what's happening on the field below.
And what do you think happens with the interstate betting? So for people who are unaware, nowadays when you go to Vegas, they understand. They want to get your money. So you can bet by the pool. You can get an account. You can get it on your phone. It's an app, basically. You go, you show your ID. They give you a PIN number. And you can bet from anywhere within the city, the state, essentially. So it's, you know, hey, you want to go out with your girl, you're by the pool or whatever, but you want to get a bet in, you don't have to go back to the sports book. You can place it online. Roger Goodell is telling them to jam the signal. He doesn't want people on their phones betting from the stadium, Dave. What do you think's going to happen there?
I don't think Goodell's going to get his way on that, because the state of Nevada is going to say, this is our reg. This is our state. You know, you don't come in here and tell us how we do things in our state. And if you go to court on that, you know, who holds more weight, the league or the state? Well, guess what? The state holds it. And this has been the funny thing with Goodell in New Jersey and all these other places, the NFL talking like they have more power than they actually do. Now, they do have it over advertisers, but the NFL doesn't control gambling on their product. The states do. You know, over in Great Britain and other places, the teams don't control, the leagues don't control. It's controlled for them. So if it comes down to be a power play here, this is the one time the NFL is not going to win.
Quickly, Dave, and we'll get to the NBA draft, and Vegas is actually taking bets on this like they did the NFL draft. But Mayweather and Connor, I saw tickets went on sale, Dave, last night. I was on the T-Mobile Arena website, never mind the fact that Ice Cube has the building booked for his Big Three basketball tournament. But I was on the website, and first thing that struck me was the fact that it wasn't sold out. It's not like, ooh, they sold out in the first couple of hours or anything like that. Part two, the cheapest ticket to get in is $2,100, Dave. I'm wondering, and they're saying, oh, we're going to have $77 million at the gate. A lot of people might be excited to talk about the fight, but I think a lot of people see it for the scam that it is. Like, you know me, Dave. I'm a big Mayweather guy. I'm a big UFC guy. I'm not flying down for the fight. I'm not paying $2,000 for this exhibition sham. What's the talk in Vegas about this?
Nervousness. And then we're talking about a hot August weekend with doesn't have a whole lot of other things going on. You got a little bit of college football, not a whole lot. So it's what can MGM do to create a draw around this fight? Can they get something out of the undercard? Can they get somebody in the arena the night before for a concert? What can they do? Because you're right, the consumer has been burned a few times with Mayweather fights where, yeah, he's a great fighter, but you know what? When you pay, you don't really get a whole lot in return for what you paid for. So I think this consumer is going to be a lot more skeptical than what the MGM folks were hoping.
Yeah, I agree. I really do. It's crazy. They're going to have a hard time filling that building. They really are. Because in the type of person, Dave, that has that type of money doesn't want to sit in the last row. He's too cool for that, right? So a guy that, yeah, it's going to cost me four dimes to bring a chick and fly plus $10,000 for the weekend, I don't want to sit in the last row. You know, I'd rather just go to a party and be a big shot and save the money. And me personally, I wouldn't pay $2,000 for a ticket. I'd rather take the $2,000 and bet it on the fight.
Yeah, especially when there's one difference. Usually with a Mayweather fight, you know you're going to plan out the next hour, hour and a half of your life. This is the one Mayweather fight that might be over early. We have no idea what McGregor's stamina, you know, would be like to extend this fight beyond a couple of rounds. So that makes it even worse when there's the prospect that it might be over early anyway.
Dave Malinsky with us. All right, Dave, let's jump in here. NFL in Vegas, they took bets for the first time, and it was relatively successful. I don't think they're expecting anywhere near the handle that they got on the NFL for the NBA. But nevertheless, there are some draft props up on the board right now. One that's interesting here is Lonzo Ball. Over under 2.5, Dave. Under is minus 350. Over is plus 250. So essentially, we get plus 250 if we say no that the Lakers pass. What does your gut tell you? Do you think they're going to end up going with Ball? And should they go with Ball?
It depends on what they want to do with the rest of their roster, because part of the problem is you had the worst defensive backcourt in the league this year, and one of the worst in history with Russell and Clarkson, you know, two guys who aren't going to be very good on that end. Now, if you put another bad defender in that backcourt, that's tough. So maybe they're going to move Russell out. But it's hard for the Lakers to not do it, because in L.A., if you're not going to be great, you had better be entertaining.
Yeah.
And I think that's their way to say, look, we will be entertaining for the next year. And then the following season, we'll try to get Paul George. We'll try to get LeBron. We'll try to get somebody that will make us good. But Ball is the entertainment factor to keep people plugged in for the next year.
I see in Las Vegas they have Malik Monk over under 8. Unfortunately, I can't get that offshore, Dave. I'm seeing 7.5s, and it's minus 175 to the under. It's no secret that the New York Knicks are in love with Monk in the 8 spot. I'm not so sure he falls there, Dave. I think that Malik Monk is a nice fit for the Orlando Magic in the 6th pick. I think the T-Wolves would be well served. Monk is a nice two-way player here, Dave. What's your take on Monk and his impact in the NBA, and where do you think he goes?
It just looks like such a good fit for the Magic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that just looks like such a natural. But, okay, here come the whispers out of New York, though. Do they try to move up? We're hearing that Porzingis is at least available in discussions. Now, they're going to want a lot for him, but just the very fact that they'll allow the discussions to take place, maybe we see something like that happen.
De'Aaron Fox is a player that maybe the Lakers, and it's interesting with Fox, and the prop with him is 4.5, Dave, and it's funny with him. We know he's not going first to Philadelphia. We know he's not going third to Boston. They're keeping Isaiah Thomas at this point, and they sent that message by the moves they just made. So then suddenly it becomes, well, as he goes two to the Lakers, probably not. And then this bet comes down to, and it's -110. Do the Phoenix Suns take De'Aaron Fox? What do you think?
I think they do. They've been stung trying to fill that position out the last couple of years, but I believe that is the move. Or, and again, what Phoenix will be open to, trading down for somebody that wants to move up into that spot.
Lauri Markkanen is a player I like a lot, Dave. The big seven-footer, I think he might even be 7'1", 7.5", whatever. Big kid out of Finland, played for the Arizona Wildcats, really worked on his game. He's a pretty complete player, Dave. And, you know, guys that can stretch the floor like that and hit an outside shot with that type of body in the modern NBA are going to be sought after. But with that being stated, I see the prop right now, over under 8.5. And they got it under -135, +100, that he goes lower than 8.5. And I like this kid, but I don't see him going in the top 9 picks, Dave. I've got him actually going right after that, to 9 or 10, actually. I think he's a perfect fit with the Mavericks, with Dirk Nowitzki right there, or the Sacramento Kings that have two early picks.
I think Dallas is such an ideal scenario because Nowitzki can be the mentor for him, because he is going to need a little bit of work. Part of the problem is because of his background. You know, he just hasn't played enough against great competition yet. So it's going to be a bit of a work in progress, but you do have to play him as a stretch 4 or 5. Despite his size, he doesn't really have a low post game yet.
I know.
So he's capable of good things, but it's got to be the right fit.
He's going to need to toughen up. He's going to need to muscle up and bulk up a little bit as well. So, Dave, the Warriors are -160 to repeat next year. The Cavaliers are +300 right now. Cavaliers fire the GM. The Boston Celtics are wheeling and dealing, and we know they're not done yet in Boston, dealing Danny Ainge. So he's got the third pick. I like Josh Jackson the best in this draft, and it looks like they might get Jackson. I think they're going to keep Isaiah Thomas, but we also know they're going to go hard after Gordon Hayward. If they don't get Gordon Hayward, they're going hard after Jimmy Butler in a deal. They also have their eye on Blake Griffin. So it appears as though they're going to add a Josh Jackson, and they're going to add another superstar player into this mix. Have they closed the ground on the Cleveland Cavaliers yet?
No, here's the problem with Boston is that they have such great draft settings for the next couple of years, but the right players aren't there. You bring in Hayward, you bring in Jackson, you bring in a Jason Tatum, you bring in a Jimmy Butler. Well, guess what? You're still soft inside.
Yeah.
And that's where Cleveland brutalized them. They beat them up around the basket. The problem, though, is there's just nobody out there that's available, it looks like, for Boston to fill that gap. So you've got to make do with what you have, and what you have inside, it just isn't good enough.
You know, I thought that too, Dave, and I thought that about the Celtics last year. You could argue the Celtics have more talent than the Cavaliers already last year, right? They're deep as hell. But, you know, do they fit? Do they have that chemistry? Does it work stylistically? And that's always the issue. All right, we got a couple of minutes here, Dave. Baseball. I opened up the show talking about Rizzo crashing into hedges last night. I know San Diego are upset about this. The thing about this is, though, who is more worried after that collision? Rizzo's a star. He doesn't want to get hurt in that spot. He got caught in between. But the rules are the rules. Nobody's been suspended yet, Dave, for this. Yet I think Rizzo might be the first one.
Baseball has sort of painted themselves into a corner where they almost have to do it, because it's so hard for them to explain. If they don't, how do they explain the rule as to why they didn't? But what they'll do is try to keep it as minimal as possible. I think they have to do it. They've just painted themselves into that corner.
Anything catch your eye tonight on the board, Dave? We've got a monster series with Arizona and Colorado tonight. Greinke and Marquez on the hill. What do you make of the baseball board tonight?
Yeah, I tell you the one that's exciting. Maybe one of the deadest games on the board, but the Giants are about as flat as any team I've seen in a long time for only being mid-June. Because rarely do you see a team that honestly thought they were contenders on opening day. Rarely do you see them all the way out of the race, out of the wild card, out of everything in the middle of June. Seven straight losses, a lot of the games not even competitive. Matt Moore is going to struggle anywhere but his home ballpark, where he can get away with a lot of long fly balls. Give me the Braves at a near pick'em to go out and just simply play harder than the Giants. The next 90 games, that's going to feel like 900 for Bruce Bochy.
You know, it's one of my plays of the day. I agree. Matt Moore's terrible. His ERA is like 9 on the road. And as you mentioned, in this ballpark, could be a real disaster. Dave, it's always a pleasure, my man. I know you're on a little bit of a hiatus, so I appreciate you taking time to join us. Dave, it's always a pleasure. We'll start talking some NFL football soon.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
There's Dave Malinsky with us, one of the smartest men I know when it comes to breaking down sports, and he's pretty smart about other things as well. Coach Nick, one of the best in the business. We're talking NBA draft. Let's do this thing. Game time decisions continues. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's jump right in, cut the small talk so we can get to as many players as possible. I'm very excited this guy can join us. I know he's very busy right now doing a ton of videos and breakdowns of all the players in the NBA draft. Coach Nick, B-Ball Breakdown, joins us. Coach, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I'm good, Gabe. How are you doing?
All right, Coach. So listen, I'm a little bit in the minority because I see the and Twitter's never wrong. So if Twitter never. says that Colangelo's a genius and Philadelphia are the next Golden State Warriors, then I must be wrong. They must be right. But I wasn't overly enthusiastic about the deal. I think, you know, the whole phrase, the trust the process stuff that started there, trust the process, don't force the process. I think you would have got a nice player with the third pick anyways. And I don't think you're going to be a playoff team this year. And as a Raptor fan and as someone in the same division as the Celtics, I'm getting sick and tired of seeing people give Danny Ainge first-round picks, Coach.
Well, I tell you, it was a really fascinating kind of, it was shocking to me even when it came out, although it becomes very clear very quickly what the Celtics wanted to do and why they were willing to give it up. Although it is surprising to me that they're willing to go all in, I guess, with their backcourt and not pick Fultz and like ride that and then maybe pick Josh Jackson instead and go on that route. But on the Sixers side, they've got to be ecstatic because they have a lot of versatility now with a guy like Fultz running out there with Simmons and Embiid.
Yeah, so I know you've put a lot of work into Fultz. I watched a lot of Fultz this year. I bet on a lot of Washington Husky games, one of the late games every night. I'm a big college guy. So I've really watched him closely, and he really makes it look easy. That's one thing about him. He just sort of glides. And I saw you talking about his gravity towards the basket. He's one of these guys, like, he just sort of scores without breaking a sweat. I don't know how to describe it, but he's got a lot of tools in the arsenal, doesn't he? With the little floaters, the jump shot, off the dribble. He'll take it to the rack. How would you describe his offensive game?
Well, it's very rare to see a guy this young, this polished. And I think that's the word I like to use, is polished. He really has all the shots in his arsenal. They're all under control. He has explosiveness, but he doesn't use it to the point where he's out of control and can't keep his balance. And so that's really what's amazing, because usually with the young guys at that position, you'll see at least a little of that. And I really didn't see any of that. He was always under control. He likes to jump off both feet, which I really like because that's power and explosion and balance. He's got a beautiful jump shot as well. He can run the pick and roll. He can make those passes. He's not a flashy passer. He doesn't see the floor like Alonzo Ball does, but he can make the good pass, and he can skip it as well off those pick and rolls to open shooters. So it's rare to see a kid like this who can come in quickly and have a positive impact. I have no doubt he will right away in the NBA.
Is he the slam dunk best player, though, as far as you're concerned? Or is he just a fit for Philadelphia?
Really great question. It's tough because there's a lot of really good players, and it's also going to be about fit, right? Like some other players who are unheralded might go into a perfect situation and end up having a great year, better than anybody.
Yeah.
Besides him and Ball, I think that they're up there, and I feel like everyone else, as far as from day one, ready to commit and ready to contribute, I would say that he's got to be one or two.
One thing about Boston is, and I think with the Celtics, at some point, instead of stockpiling everything, it's like, I want to win now, right? And I get it. Oh, yeah, we're going to be real good. Imagine if we have Jaylen Brown and Josh Jackson playing together 4 years from now. Yeah, I get it. But also, we have all this talent right now, and you raise a good point as far as, you know, the direction they're going in. Me playing, and I can't criticize Danny Ainge. He's done a hell of a job, and it's unbelievable. The guy's got a million first-round picks and draft picks and all this type of stuff. But at the same point in time, Isaiah Thomas can't play defense. And I would have almost liked to see them, all right, we're going to let Isaiah go. We're bringing Hayward in, and we'll take Fultz. Or even I could live with a Jackson and sort of the tweaking, and they get better defensively and a little tougher as opposed to just being the same team right now. Because even as I like Josh Jackson, but a Josh Jackson's going to be better for you and help you win an NBA title 3 years from now than he is this year, Coach.
Right, and also they have Jaylen Brown, who is a very similar position and is already on his way to developing. So it was tough because they have all these young players and they have like a stockpile in a way that you have to, you know, just make a tough decision at some point. And that's sort of what they didn't do. Isaiah Thomas is without question like a folk hero in Boston now, and it would be really hard to let him go. But I agree with you. I think if you're talking about playoff success, if he's not like the sixth man Vinny Johnson role, then I don't think you're going to really do as well as you need to get past Cleveland in the next several years. And so they probably could have done that. In fact, I would have even said maybe Avery Bradley is also, you know, maybe move on from him and use him as a good asset to get somebody else. And that's what they need.
Yeah, we were talking about the other night on a podcast too, maybe a Jay Crowder as well. They have assets that people are going to want. But, okay, so before we move on from the Celtics, there's no secret they want Gordon Hayward. Now, Gordon Hayward's wife posted a picture of their baby wearing, like, shamrocks and stuff. Like, oh, I didn't mean anything by it. Well, you know what I mean? Didn't you? So, I don't know. Is this as obvious as it seems, Coach? And if it isn't, we're hearing a lot of Jimmy Butler rumors right now over the last couple hours with Boston. It's no secret that they've kicked the tires on Blake Griffin before. Which one of these players makes the Boston Celtics the most competitive to beat Cleveland?
Well, you know, first of all, it kind of bums me out if the Jazz can't keep it together because it feels like they're building something. But you have a perfect fit with Hayward and Stevens getting back together from their college roots. So that seems like a really strong draw. And also, it's the question then is you go to the East. So Hayward is going to probably want to do that either way because that'll be, an easier path towards, you know, deeper playoff runs. So it seems to make sense that Hayward would be the guy. I would think I would prefer Butler. I think that his defense is better. I think he's tougher and he can make tougher shots and create stuff, which is really what they need. Even though Hayward has shown the ability to do it, I just feel like we've seen Hayward's ceiling, and I don't know if he'd ever be like the number one guy on a really good team, maybe like a number two. Whereas Butler to me feels like, you know, he could probably be that number one guy on a good team.
All right, so you're in Los Angeles right now. What's the local feeling around Ball? What's the average Laker fan stating? Because I'm thinking Laker fans have been through a lot recently. And I'm thinking, do you want a guy because he played high school here, you know, the pride of Chino Hills? Or do you want a guy that's going to make us the best team possible here? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so what are they feeling here, man? It's a tough decision for them, isn't it? I feel they're going to do it, and they're going to take Ball.
Well, to me, those are the same things. It's the local hero, and it's the guy that's going to make them as good as they can be. I think that they could work really well together, him and Russell. So I think that the Lakers fans are going out there and trying to figure out trades now. How do we get Paul George this year, right? They want to try and accelerate the process, and that's what they're looking for. But they're also – it's a rational exuberance. They're looking at this thing going, you know, we could probably make the playoffs, you know, if Randall plays a little bit better and we can get some more development out of, Larry Nance and Russell. So
thought Basalt was only in Miami.
No, it's out here.
All kidding aside, the Lakers are not making the playoffs next year.
Oh, that doesn't stop the fans from trying to figure out.
I know. Dude, I saw in Vegas, actually, they already set the number. The Warriors are minus 160 to repeat. And the sports book said we're getting a lot of action on the Lakers, though, too.
To make the playoffs, right?
Yeah, no, to win.
No.
To win. Yes. Okay. Every year, dude, it's like the USC Trojans, the LA Lakers, people buy in to this crazy stuff. Me personally, I would trade Russell. I don't like Russell. I don't like Clarkson. I don't think they're committed to winning. And I think if I would do this if I was the Pacers, instead of, you know, and another thing is you can't have all these guys here. How about that? If you want to get Paul George, wouldn't they take D'Angelo Russell and Clarkson for Paul George?
You know, that's not bad. You know, maybe a pick in there too or something like that. Because remember, Paul George is a top, you know, I don't know, what are we going to put him, top 15? Top 50 player, something like that?
Do you like Paul George? Do you like him?
I really like him. I think that if he got onto a better team, then his defense would return to the way it was because he was on the way to being a Kawhi Leonard style
defense. I know, but that's the thing, Coach. I don't mean to cut you off. That's the thing that upsets me. Paul George, I want to get out of Indiana. I want to play for a winner. I want to go to the Lakers.
Right, right. Well, hey.
The Pacers are better. He's like, oh, you're like the Pacers are better than the Lakers are.
Well, I suppose if you're looking at a three-year thing, then clearly the Lakers, I think, will be better than the Pacers as it is now starting today. So I get it.
Yeah.
He's from here. You know, I know Paul pretty well. I mean, I get it. I know why he'd want to come back here. Everything, his roots are here. So
what about the Clippers,
I think it's probably – it's more about like, you know what, I've had it, I mean, I had it with Indiana. Larry Bird's leaving. Everyone's kind of getting out of here. We gave it a good shot. I need a change of scenery, and I think that would help everybody involved.
All right. We've only got a minute or a minute and a half or so. So I want to ask you, I watched your video about Dennis Smith. I found it intriguing. Really explosive player out of NC State. Is he going to be a little microwave scorer in the NBA as well? How do you think he meshes into the league here?
I mean, I really think it's going to depend on where he goes and what situation he's in. There are paths where he can be a really good spark plug and push that ball and be a scoring lead guard. But he, you know, he's got alligator arms. He's not very tall at all. He's got that Isaiah Thomas thing, but he's more explosive than Isaiah. Not as polished though. So I think it might take him a little bit of time to figure out how to make it work. But I don't know. So he's kind of like he can go either way up for me right now. There's probably just as many paths where it can kind of be a dud as it could be something interesting and special.
We got to get out of here, but just quickly, Jonathan Isaac, 6'11". Guy that can do a little bit of everything, right? I mean, he's not great at anything, but it's a guy that's going to help a winning basketball team. I like Jonathan Isaac, man. Big wingspan, too, 7'1", hit 34% of his threes. You like him?
Yeah, I mean, I love the guys who are short for and then grew later in life, so they had this development as a wing before they became big. So you're talking about like Kevin Durant-ish kind of stuff where he could be a wing player at 7 feet or whatever, 6'11", with a huge wingspan. Love those kind of guys. Maybe has a chip on his shoulder going to Florida State and getting overlooked a little bit. So, you know, those are all good intangibles to have. I'm really going to keep my eye out for him.
Yeah, like Anthony Davis, of course, point guard in high school. All right, we've got to get out of here, Coach. It's always a pleasure. We'll let you get back to work. Try to get a little bit of rest, but NBA draft, and Coach is going to be on live during the draft on Periscope. Check him out. B-Ball Breakdown Twitter. Always a pleasure, Coach.
You got it, Gabe. Thanks.
There's Coach Nick with us. Always love talking basketball. Cardano comes up next. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We're now joined by the director of the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and, of course, a Roto expert. And we want to remind you that the Roto Expert Edge Fantasy Package is now available if you want to win your fantasy leagues this year and be smarter than your buddies. It's well worth it. Mike Cardano joins us. How you doing, Mike?
I know you plug that all the time, right? Not just when I come on.
Oh, yeah. No, we plugged it yesterday. We had George Kurtz on yesterday.
Oh, there you go.
We plugged it. Yeah, and I've been tweeting it out there. Yeah. All right. I'm doing a New York Jet. I'm doing team-by-team previews, just early looks, season win totals, division odds, look at the schedule and stuff like that.
You can't omit them? You got to do them?
Yeah, no.
It's a requirement.
Yeah, it's required. Yeah, pre-required. So I'm going through daily. So I've only through the AFC East. So today I'm on the Jets. I'm RNC Unfiltered a little bit later on. And I got to tell you, remember in the good old days when I was growing up and stuff, the New York, the Sack Exchange, remember?
Yeah. You know, Abdul Salam.
Abdul Salam, Mark Gastineau. Yeah. Lions, you know what I mean? The old Sack Exchange. Well, I'll tell you what, the stock market has crashed. I think like this team's called the Depression Era.
Listen,
it's not the stock or the sack exchange. The stocks have crashed, all right? And I swear to God, I know this sounds extreme, and I'm going to piss off half of New York City right now, but I'm telling you right now, I think there's a legitimate chance that the New York Jets go 0-16 this year.
Listen, I don't think you pissed anybody off. I think they're resigned to the fact they would like that. We can get a draft pick.
But they're trying to tank. They've cut everybody.
Listen, not only that, the owner himself actually left. Didn't he join Trump's cabinet or something like that? His brother's going to run the teams. Everybody's gone. Even he left. So, listen.
Why doesn't Jared Kushner take over? He runs everything else.
I just think there are too many variables in the NFL game, including special teams, the kicking game, and stuff like that, where they shouldn't be at any disadvantages at all. If anything, they're going to work extra hard and probably have better kicking games, kick return coverage and kick coverage and kick returns, things like that, than other teams, because that's their only real hope to steal games. So I think it's too hard for a team to actually go. It's just as hard for a team to go 0-16 as it is to go 16-0. I think the Patriots have a better chance of going 16-0, though, than the Jets do at 0-16. They'll get two or three, I think.
I'm betting both those props. I'm betting, will a team not win a game at plus 1,500? I'm going to bet, will a team go undefeated at plus 1,600? I think the Patriots could go 16-0, too, if they want to.
I don't know if they want to. Yeah,
if they want to, exactly. All right. So the question is, did Rizzo want to crash into Austin Hedges last night? People are upset. The Padres are really upset. Yeah, you guys are really upset. Austin Hedges makes $400K a year. We got our superstar Rizzo here. Who's more worried about getting hurt out of this collision? I'm not hating on Rizzo here. I think he sort of realized, I screwed up. I should have slid. I took the wrong lane coming in here. And he didn't try to kill him. He kind of holds up. But at the same point in time, he did violate the new rule. I find it interesting, Mike. Nobody's been suspended yet for this. I think he's going to be the first one.
Well, listen, he didn't try to hurt the kid. But he did kind of hold up in a way. He didn't lay him out. But he did the wrong thing. He took the inside lane.
Yeah.
I didn't see it live, so I watched it a couple times on replay. He was inside the lane. You have to make a conscious effort to get inside the lane because you're taking your lead. You're starting to run. You're outside the lane to begin with. And you have to cross over and come inside. So from that, he meant to dislodge the ball. And the problem here is Major League Baseball can't have it both ways. They need to either go with Little League rules and say no contact.
Yeah.
If there's contact, you're out of the game. That's it. Or go the other way.
If the ball comes loose, Mike, I bet you they say that he was going to be called out, I bet.
No.
Because he hung on to the ball. We didn't find out.
Once he has the ball, you can annihilate him. That's still the rule. He could have bowled him over and dislodged the ball. He would have been safe.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to run the catcher over anymore.
You can if he has the ball first. If he has the ball, the catcher can then stand in front of the plate with the ball and block it. You can knock him over. He can't during the play. He has to give you a path to the plate. He did give him a path, and he went inside and got him. If he just came straight, he wouldn't have hit him. So he was going to be out anyway. But Major League Baseball can't have it both ways. He really didn't intend. He was caught in between. He had two steps to make a decision.
Exactly. And if you try to slide in that spot, you get your cleat stuck in the dirt and stuff. It can get ugly. It's like falling on a bike. You know what I mean? Like at some point, you're like, okay.
Hey, Rizzo didn't want to get hurt either.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Yeah.
But he needs to get suspended, Gabe.
I agree. Either way, he was going
to
be out.
No malice, no intent, but you have to based on the rule. They got to change the rule, though. It's either got to be no contact or contact. Pick one. You can't have it both ways.
Well, how about the San Diego Padres Twitter, their radio broadcast, tweeting out a poll? Should we retaliate tonight?
Yeah, but the problem is there. What do we got? We got 114 people who voted?
Well, how many? There's 190. Yeah. All 119 San Diego Padres fans voted, Mike.
that's the thing. So, no, he's not a dirty player. I think even the manager said that. He was caught in between. He took the inside lane. As a matter of principle, they got to give him a game or
so. I'm glad we got the picture up. All right, unfortunately, we only got 2 minutes already. NL West, man, this stuff is wild. It's crazy. They're all going to be in the playoffs. They're running away with the wild cards, Mike, if anyone's paying attention to this, right? right now. The Dodgers, the D-backs, and the Rockies just win every damn night. Huge series. Greinke on the hill tonight against Marquez. Game's a pick 'em. Rockies are 4-2 versus the D-backs this year. The D-backs are 7-1 the last 8 times Greinke's been on the hill. Diamondbacks on a 7-game win streak. Rockies are 5-0 in their last 5 and 12-3 in their last 15.
Gabe, it's been 1962 since 3 teams in the same division were this late in the year over 600 winning percentage.
Wow.
That's a long time, 1962. Listen, anybody going for the wild card it's really got, you know, I was watching the Mets game the other night and they said, well, if they do this, they can do that. No. Anybody's got to win their division. These 3 teams are going to be in the playoffs.
Dodgers are smoking, but they can't be gaining ground. And I don't understand this, how you have the player that just hit 21 home runs faster than anyone in Major League Baseball history has, and your closer has 50 strikeouts and 0 walks, and you're not in first place. How is this possible?
That is amazing, and he eclipsed the record a long time
ago.
Dude,
this is – I don't know why people aren't talking about this. Think about this, Mike. The record, he broke it at 35. So 36 was the record. He might double this record at this rate. It's insanity.
You know what? It's a little out of sight, out of mind. He's not out there every day. If he was the starter, they'd be talking about it all the time. It's an incredible run.
I know. And the people, yeah, because he comes out at 1 in the morning East time, right? We got to get out of here. Your 3 picks tonight. You're starting out in this Arizona game, right?
Going to take Greinke plus 103 tonight against Colorado. Going to take the under 11, and I'll take the over in the Mets Dodgers.
I like your picks, Cardano. 6-4 on the season so far. Thanks, Mike.
All right, take care.
Mike Cardano, as we take a quick break, we'll come back with our plays of the day. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. We've got some baseball picks, and we've got a strange card today. We're mixing it up. We've got the Yankees. Yankees have lost 6 straight, but they're back home right now, and I like the fact that they had a day off to settle down. Pineda's been absolutely awesome at home. We're going to lay a run and a half here, minus 135. The San Francisco Giants are putrid. They're terrible. They suck. All right, and Matt Moore is all of the above, especially when Matt Moore is on the road. Give me Julio Teheran here in this spot. We'll lay the 20 cents. Red Sox and Royals. Hey, listen, I'm getting in front of Chris Sale here, but we're getting plus 170. I gave it to Royals last night, and they cashed for it. Sometimes in life, you have to take a chance, people. We're going to take that chance with the Royals. Minnesota Twins. Santana's been fire this year, man. Minus 175 to get it done. And I don't love this one, but the Texas Rangers, man, plus 115, will roll the dice. May the winners be yours.